Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Let's Talk About Lack. I thought that since lack is on so many people's minds, that would be a good thing for us to talk about this week. I don't think any of us enjoy hard times, times when we have so much less income, times when we have to forego things that we need to buy. But days of adversity are a part of every human's life. As Americans, we should be very thankful that in general, they're far less frequent in ours who live in the U.S. than in many other nations where reacting to adversity becomes second nature. So hard times will come, which means we cannot control that. We can only control how we react to them. We can bend and break like a reed, or we can stand and let the winds of adversity make us stronger, which is what the Lord wants us to do with adversity. Most of us are looking at our circumstances right now thinking, wow, I didn't sign up for this. And let's face it, none of us were believing for a deadly pandemic, job loss, or empty food pantries, were we? Lately, there's been talk on the news about food shortages coming because so many of the meatpacking plant workers are out or even have passed away with COVID-19. There are workers in every area of the food chain not working, from planting and harvesting to packaging to delivery. By the time this made the news, I had already been having a very strong gut feeling, not a word from the Lord, just my own gut feeling, y'all, that pretty soon people who don't grow their own food aren't going to have any. Anyone that knows me will tell you they've never seen so much as an ivy plant in my house, because I've known for years that neither one of my thumbs is green. But I decided that since I like to eat, I better try to learn how to grow plants. So I got a few plants and I decided to just see if I could learn how to nurture and grow them instead of killing them like I always managed to do to all my plants in the past. So one of the things that I learned just reading up on some stuff is that you should use a small fan on indoor vegetable plants, because there's no adverse wind against the plants, then they will have no strength. Okay, let's talk about faith for a minute, because we all really need faith right now. And faith determines what you will receive from the Lord. Faith determines what you can receive from God. Faith is released in your words, but your faith does not always match your words. There's a chapter in The Wilderness Companion that I wrote called Fruit Thoughts, where I wrote about the Lord teaching me that very lesson. Faith comes by hearing. That means you're hearing. If you were taught, like let's say that as you were growing up, maybe you went to church, or you know, you were taken to church, or somebody was teaching you about the Lord. If you were taught that God wants you poor, you will have faith for poverty, probably your whole life. And even if wealth were to come to you, you would likely waste it away if you have faith for poverty, because someone instilled in you that that was what the Lord wanted you to have, okay? If you believe that the Lord made you ill, or that some illness might be His will for you, you will have faith for illness, not for healing. So look at what you have been taught. Many people don't want to answer God's call in their life because they believe, and they've been taught, that if you're called to preach or to do ministry, that you're basically taking a vow of poverty. I think only nuns and some priests take vows of poverty. I can tell you, the Lord does expect us to be good stewards of whatever He gives us, and that applies whether you're in ministry or not. But a vow of poverty is not required to answer God's call on your life. That is the point I'm trying to make. In fact, if the Lord says, hey, I want you to do this, I want you to dedicate your life to doing this, you can look at Him and go, okay, can I have a salary of, you know, X number of dollars, a reasonable salary to do that job, so that you're not, it's hard to do the Lord's work if you're worried about money all the time. So moving right along, let's talk about faith. In one of my first wilderness journeys, I lived in Richardson, Texas, which is right on the edge of Dallas County. I had been working an oil and gas job in Lafayette, I believe, and suddenly I was out of work. Within only a few months, I had no job, no unemployment, no savings, and no money. I also had no family there to fall back on. Scared is not even the word for what that feels like. When you are staring at the first of the month and you cannot pay your rent, that is scary, y'all. I know a lot of you in the listing areas are going through a wilderness like that right now. When I entered my first wilderness journey and I watched my life fall apart around me, I did not even understand what was happening. I was petrified. At least this second or third time I'm talking about here, I had some idea. I desperately wished for a book to explain what was happening that would tell me what I needed to do to get out of it. I never found one, and maybe that's why the Lord told me to write The Wilderness Companion in 2012. So anyway, when I wasn't listening to preaching while this was going on, I was out of work. I had been staring fearfully at my unpaid rent and bills and at my empty cupboards. Then I would approach God with all that on my mind, and I would pray fearfully too. I would just beg. I did not know anything about having Bible faith back then. I'm sure the Lord was sitting up in heaven going, "She is just not getting it." And one day he spoke to me and he said, "You're already familiar with your circumstances. Stop looking at your circumstances and look in my word and see what I've provided for you there." And then one night in early February, so I started researching his word, but I wasn't very good at studying back then. I didn't understand how to study the Bible then. One night in early February of 2002, still unable to pay my rent for February, I had been confessing and trying my best to, you know, decree that my bills were paid and my rent was paid, blah, blah, blah. When the Lord spoke something to me I never forgot, and I wrote about this in the Wilderness Companion too, it was life-changing. He said, "Fruit thoughts," and then he gave me a scripture. And when I looked it up, he showed me that my imagination, which was seeing unpaid bills and eviction notices, was the report card of my faith. And he taught me that night that I would get whatever the report card of my faith was showing me, not what I was confessing, because we get what we believe, what we truly believe. And I really believed I was fixing to go down with the ship, okay? Confessing and decreeing this or that does not help you if you have no revelation on the scriptures you are standing on. It does not help you if you really don't believe what you're saying. And I had not even tried confessing or decreeing until I got into that terrible bind. And that is not the time when you want to try to learn that. Can I just tell you that? Okay, this is a word for a woman who's listening to this right now. You've lost your job. You don't know what to do. You're watching the bills pile up. You have terrible anxiety about them. You're trying to not to freak out, but you're freaking out. The Lord says to you, woman of God, draw near to me. Get into my word. Delight yourself in me, and I will bring you out better than you were before. If you will cast your care and just believe, if you will set your thoughts on me, I will move on your behalf and delight you. Nicole and I were talking about all of this yesterday, and she mentioned the widow of Zarephath, who is mentioned in 1 Kings 17:9, and about whom very little is known. 1 Kings 17:9 says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath." This is the Lord talking to Elijah. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Then, and one other thing the Bible says referring to this widow, and this is Luke 4:25 and 26, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman there that was a widow." We are not told why Elijah was sent to that widow, but I suspect it is because the Lord knew she would be obedient and sustain Elijah, his prophet. Elijah was a major prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of kings Ahab and Ahaziah. And he's talked about in 1 Kings and in 2 Kings. Elijah's name means Yahweh is my God. And it is also spelled Elias in other ways. Elijah helped Israel to come out of idol worship and worshiping Baal, the god of the other nations around them that Jezebel was in favor of. You know, this widow was there gathering firewood to cook the last meal on earth for her and her son. They had to be pretty hungry for that meal too in that terrible famine. Then Elijah shows up and says, hey, fix me some first. She barely had enough to squeeze two little tiny cakes out of as it was. The Bible said all she had was a handful of meal. That's not enough cornmeal to make a cornbread muffin, y'all. She was in need herself. So what were her choices? Well, she could go ahead and enjoy that last meal of basically what would be a muffin bite with her son that she was so looking forward to, and then die watching her son starve to death and cry for food in the process. Or she could take a chance on what the man of God said to her and give part of what little she had and put her faith in God. I'm happy to say she chose the latter choice. She decided to trust God since all she had was a little bit anyway, and God was God. And she had heard of mighty miracles that he had done for Moses and Abraham and others in the past. She didn't have a lot of hope, but she did have some faith, and she had that tiny smidgen of meal. Do y'all realize that if the widow of Zarephath had not fed Elijah, she and her son would have both died in that famine? Because she said herself that was their last meal, and she would have had to watch him die. But because she gave, her oil and her meal never failed, the Bible says. This is the blessing of obedience and putting God first. And by the way, Nicole heard a sermon by Brian Cutshaw, who said that the widow Zarephath's son was Jonah. And that, and also this widow's son is for sure the same boy that died on his mother's knee with a real bad headache. And I talked about him in a sermon, I don't know, a couple months ago, I think. And Elijah raised him from the dead. The first logical step when any of us see lean times coming is we look at our finances and we start cutting out anything that's non-essential, right? Right, okay. So that list might sound something like this. Recreation, movies, dinners out, memberships we can live without. Charitable giving comes right up on people's lists. The worst thing you can do is stop giving when things get hard. When we stop giving because times are hard, we are showing God proof positive that we believe more in our circumstances than we do in Him. When we stop giving because times are hard, we are saying He is only God in the good times. The truth is, giving when you yourself are in need actually brings the biggest blessings of all. So I was walking my dogs this morning, walking past the property of an elderly neighbor on the next street. His yard always looks so pretty. Early every morning, he's always outside, you know, doing something or putting around his yard. He's in his 80s. And it gets his constant attention, and it's one of the nicest yards in the neighborhood. And he has a beautiful, very small fir tree. He has some others too, but I noticed this one little baby fir tree, and he has a fence around it, this beautiful little tree. He fences all these little baby trees in his yard that he's taking care of when they're small and young. He fences them to protect them from attacks and things that would make them less strong. And I noticed that he does not stake his trees. He's not trying to make them grow perfectly straight. He wants the wind to do its job of strengthening them. So he don't stake them or force them, but he fences them in. He puts a protective barrier around them to keep them safe from animals attacking them. Somebody listening to this program, this was not in my notes. And you're very afraid of something or someone. You're afraid of someone attacking you. And the Lord says to tell you, you're a female. The Lord says to tell you, woman of God, He's put a barrier around you to protect you. You can't see it, but it is there. He said, declare His word and don't be afraid. Be unafraid. Somebody has threatened to attack you for declaring His word, I think. Okay. Where I live, because this is kind of, we're on top of a very tiny mountain. It's probably just would be a big hill anyplace else. That's completely covered in forest. Okay. If you have any land up here, you have to clear it. You cannot grow anything outside safely unless you fence it in with a really good fence, which like I wanted to do a garden, but I can't because in a rent house, you can't put up a fence. You can't do that. It's not allowed here to put anything up in the yard, or I would do a greenhouse. So I'm going to try to grow a few plants in pots in my house. I had two tulips come up in my yard the other day that somebody before me planted. They were blooming really pretty, this one day I saw him this afternoon. And then I walked outside the next morning to walk my dogs, and there were just some stems sticking up. And I found out from somebody in the neighborhood that deer eat the flowers around here. One of my neighbors last year had a beautiful hibiscus plant that her mother had gotten her, and it was covered in blooms. It was so pretty. And the deer came one night, and they ate all the flowers off of it. They'll eat anything else you plant outside, too, if you don't fence it in. Okay, this is a word for somebody. Lately, you feel the Lord has fenced you in, and you feel imprisoned. But the Lord wants you to know that He walled you in to protect you. He says you would not have listened and obeyed Him to stay safe from whatever it is that you were involved in, that you're endangered by, if He had not done this. And He says you are carrying an exceedingly precious anointing that is for a very important end times ministry. And He is trying to get you to line up and walk in it so He can bless you while also blessing His people. He is showing me that He is going to give you a space of time to get in line with Him and do what you know He has been asking you to do. But if you do not do this, He is going to remove your protection and let you have your own way, which He is saying will lead to your destruction. And He is also going to give that anointing to someone more obedient. You have very little time to get your life in line with what He has told you to do and start walking in His ways. And He says you're acting like you don't know what those are, but He says, yes, you do. You know exactly what He's asking of you, but you don't want to give up your sins. And He says to you, choose you this day who you will serve. That's from Joshua 24:15. He says, playtime is over, recess is done, and it is time for you to grow up into all He has called you to do and be. And He says, you have 7 days from right now, the time you heard this, before He will give your anointing to someone more obedient. He says, the time is that short because He has to get this other person ready. Choose wisely. I don't know if this message is for a man or a woman or for multiple people, but you know if it was for you. 7 days from right now, and you will either be walking in His ways and obeying what He's been telling you to do for some time now, or you will go back to your party life and just doing whatever you want, and your anointing will be given to someone else, and they will be blessed. So because of the things that are happening in our world, I decided to start trying to pay attention to how you grow stuff, since that's a talent that I never had. I have one friend in this area who owns a farm with her husband, and she tells me stuff all the time about how she takes care of her chickens and her goats and other animals, and I'm trying to learn from her just in case I ever have a chance to get like a little house with, you know, an acre around it or something like that where I could have that kind of thing. And I've also learned reading online that if you want a plant to grow deeper roots, you take away from what it has on top. You pinch off its flowers and cut back the foliage. This leaves all the plant's energy free for root growth. In the end, the plant is far stronger and can withstand the winds. So this is a type of pruning that makes plants stronger. This is a word for a female. There's a woman listening to this show. You're a pretty strong believer in the Lord. You're a nice looking woman, and all of a sudden, you just don't have any income and you're really struggling with that. You're really struggling to pay for things, but what grieves you most is that you cannot go have your nails done, and you cannot go have your hair done, and you cannot go buy jewelry and things like that. Woman of God, the Lord wants you to know He has pruned you. This is a case where He has pinched off the flower from you so more roots can grow in Him in your life, because He sees ahead of you there is a great storm coming, and you're going to need that faith to get through that storm. And this is very serious. So if you're laughing about it, don't. This is serious. If He's doing this, it's very serious. You're not going to need those nails. You're not going to need that hair. You're not going to need that jewelry where you're going to go. You're going to need strength and faith. And the only way that you are going to survive that storm that's coming in your life is if you have strong roots. So relax about the nails and the hair and the jewelry and all that, and seek His face. Ignore everything else. It does not matter how you look to the world. It will bother you at first, but then it will stop bothering you, okay? I know it's hard when you cannot afford anything, and all the ladies know beauty is not cheap. But you know what? in what God is training you for, and in that time of training, you have no need of beauty, woman of God. I suspect there are many godly women that are going through this right now. But right now, focus on Him and get those roots down. Let's remember that there are things that can hinder us receiving our provision. Fear, because it displaces our faith. Fear can stop your provision from coming to you. I told the story in a recent show. This was back in the 2000s when I was going through all those wilderness journeys. When I was waiting on my last check from a job I had done in the oil field, the one in Lafayette, in fact. I had left that job in like mid-November, I believe. And I was very afraid because everything was due and I was out of money. I had no savings. I had no unemployment because I'd been working contract. And the owner of the company, his wife, was angry at me because that when I left, and anyway, she was really angry at me. So she held the check. She didn't pay me the check. And so I was really afraid. And one day, John Morgan and I were going somewhere. I think we were going to lunch or something like that. He would call me up and go, let's go to lunch and talk about so-and-so, and we'd go to lunch. And we were on our way, and he said, the Lord just showed me there's a spirit of fear on you. And I said, get that puppy off there. So he cast it out. And that check came to me like a week later. It was postmarked the day he cast that spirit of fear out of me. And that proved to me that fear can hold up your provision. And it's hard not to get into fear when you don't have any income. Y'all pardon the barking of one of my dogs. It's hard not to be in fear when you don't have any source of income, but it's very important not to fear. It is very important to get your eyes off of your circumstances, off of your unpaid bills, and onto your God. If you're asking Him to provide and you're believing Him to provide, you better get your eyes on Him, okay? Okay, imaginations of lack. If your imagination is showing you empty cupboards and, you know, eviction notices and stuff like that, or foreclosure if you're lucky enough to own your home, job loss, you know, filing for unemployment. If your imagination is showing you things like that, that can hold up God providing for you. So you need to get rid of that, okay? We need to build our faith up to receive. And we need to have enough faith to not stop giving, okay? Because we need to show God He is still God and we still trust Him. If we stop giving, we're saying, okay, well, you were God in the good times, but now I'm in need, so I don't think you're God anymore. So I'm just going to not give. Think about that. Think about what that shows Him if you just stop giving and go, yeah, I'm not going to give. Remember the widow of Zarephath. Remember the choice that she made. And not only did God sustain them through the rest of that famine, but the prophet Elijah that she fed raised her son from the dead not long after that. So this is really important. You either believe God to provide for you or you don't believe God to provide for you. And you need to choose which one it's going to be. But don't believe the world and then go ask God for help, okay? Choose which one you're going to believe and then stick with that one. If you want to believe for lack, believe for lack. The world's not going to provide for you, okay? The world can't provide for you. No job can provide for you. Jobs are always temporary. You don't ever have them forever. But God is eternal, and He can provide for you, and He will provide for you if you believe Him above all else. If you see your circumstances, and then you look at God, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm not denying what's over there. I know what's there. But I'm denying its power to rule in my life. I'm denying its power to have authority over whether I'm going to be in lack or not, because you're still God and you're still on the throne. And what I see in the Bible, you took care of all your children, no matter what was going on, whether it's a famine, plagues were going around, whatever was going on, you took care of them. So I choose to believe you. And I choose to act like I believe you. I'm not going to stop giving. I'm going to put this right in the devil's face. Choose you this day. Who are you going to believe? You have to decide who you're going to believe. That's all I have for y'all this week. I hope it's a help to you. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Stay safe out there. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night. Available now on Amazon.com. Do you know someone suffering from domestic violence or another form of abuse like verbal abuse? Did you know abuse has deep spiritual roots that cause abuse to be attracted to a person throughout their lifetime? Now, the Escaping Abuse Study Guide helps you discover and remove those spiritual roots so you won't be an abuse magnet. Get the Escaping Abuse Study Guide or get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. Escaping Abuse Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available now on Amazon.com.